Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Are you ever in the position where you've got something that you want to talk about and share, and you're just dying and waiting for someone to ask? Oh, I'm so glad you've asked. Last week I was talking about, in the notices, I was talking about how I was going to dash off to, because I'd organised this gathering of families involving fostering and adoption in Matlock, and I was dashing off. So I just wanted to kind of tell you a little bit about how it went, if I may. So indulge me for a few moments, if you don't mind. So it was a really, really enjoyable event. The sun came out. We had a lovely warm afternoon. We gathered in Matlock in the park, socially distanced, of course, in two different groups. But it was just great to see. You know, we kind of had a picnic together, and then I took a group on a walk for about four or five miles, and others just stayed and played in the park. And then we regathered, and then some had gone home by that stage, and others of us had fish and chips, and it was just a really nice social occasion. And it was brilliant to see how various people that I've been getting to know over the last few years through that network, and how they're getting to know each other. And it really felt to me as though it was a social occasion where people were building friendships, and adults were able to kind of relax a little bit as children played together. Great to see how children, time and time again, I hear the story and recognise in our own family life the issue of how a lot of kids that have experienced trauma in their lives are kind of delayed in their development, and have behaviours that are challenging, which is hard for adults to deal with, but actually it means they often get shunned by their peer group and by their friends, and they can feel very odd ones out or isolated. So actually to put all those kids together could be an absolute nightmare, but actually it was wonderful to see how they kind of relaxed with each other, and perhaps didn't feel quite so much the odd one out, but actually felt much more in a group where they felt they could be themselves. So fantastic to see that. Fantastic to see how me and other parents were able to therefore relax and chat amongst ourselves, and in that kind of, you know how the most helpful thing when you're struggling with things is someone that really gets it and understands, perhaps someone that's been there themselves or is in the same situation, and their ability to listen and to empathise is a real tonic, you know, that kind of experience. Well, there's a lot of that kind of going on as well. So it was great. I really enjoyed it. It felt very worthwhile to be doing it. And we got back at 9:15 in the evening, having been out since, I don't know, 12 when we set off. But one of the things that really struck me was that it was a social gathering, and it was friendly and all the rest of it. But I had a real sense of this, or kind of, yeah, a real sense of community forming. And I went away and I was on a real high, really encouraged by how it had all gone. And then I got an email, midweek, well, Thursday-ish or so, from the head office of the National Association of Therapeutic Parents, NATP. And they'd obviously had some feedback, and so this email was just saying, you know, thank you so much for organising this, you and Julie, the other coordinator that I work with. It's really good. It's wonderful to hear people talk about how there's a real sense of community forming. And I thought, okay, well, it's not just something that I was thinking. That's something that's coming through in the feedback from head office too. So, why am I telling you this? Well, partly I'm telling you because I wanted the feedback and I'm excited about it. It's something that had gone well, and we tend to want to do that, don't we? Share good news. I'm telling you about it because it's an important part of my life now, this new network of friends, which is very supportive and mutually supportive and encouraging. I'm also telling you because it's part of, or it's relevant to our parish life. It's part of our parish life. I, over 10 years ago, felt God call me to adopt, and I ended up adopting Leon, as part of our Psalm 68 vision. It was in the same year that we'd been given that vision, and that vision laid on our hearts as a church, and that we've adopted as a parish. So I see this as part of my vocation, not as something separate to what I do as, and how I live as part of our parish. And one of the really exciting things for me is that it's given me a context in which I feel as though I can really witness to my faith. So, which might seem a daft thing to say really, but actually so much of my life, both in my upbringing and in the work that I've done and now working as a vicar, there is work in the wider community, but actually so much of my life is within the walls of the church, within the boundaries of the church. And I guess I've always understood my vocation as being, you know, a pastor, teacher in that kind of context, in this kind of context. And I think it's been part of me that's been a bit relieved to think, well, I'm not an evangelist. I don't have to, you know, do that kind of evangelist stuff, which is a bit scary out there. I think a lot of us feel that, don't we? So it's kind of an excuse to hide behind. Oh, well, I'm called to be a pastor in the church, you know, where it's nice and safe. So partly that, but also I think another part of me felt a bit frustrated or limited by being within the bounds of the church. And actually this group has given me a context where I don't feel that limitation, and I feel as though I'm engaging with people outside normal church circles, and that's a really liberating, positive thing for me. And one thing I've discovered is that if I go just as who I am, with the spiritual giftings that I have in pastoring and teaching and mentoring and things, one of the things that my eyes have been really open to is if I live as I am with my giftings amongst people that aren't Christians, those giftings are still used, obviously, in those relationships, but they become evangelistic as well. Does that make sense? Because they've become part of the witness of Christ's presence. So I share it for that reason. And also I share it because I hope and I assume that you probably have similar contexts, and perhaps a lot of you perhaps are out in the world much more than I have tended to be in your daily lives. So I'm hoping that actually in reflecting sort of what I've been experiencing, actually we all reflect together on contexts in which we can be a witness in our daily lives, and contexts perhaps where there's potential, where we haven't been doing that, but perhaps we could. And the final reason I'm telling you all this is because it leads me nicely into the theme, into a theme that I see emerging in the readings that Sarah's read to us this morning. So, in the readings, if we take them together, there's lots of things that we could pick up on, but I discern a kind of missional theme in these readings. So first of all, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, Peter has been proclaiming that God has raised Jesus from the dead. A man has been healed. And we're told in verse 4, many of those who heard the word believed, and they numbered about 5,000. We're told that the religious leaders and authorities were rattled, and they were asking the question, by what power or by what name did you do this? Referring to the healing. And the answer given is a very clear proclamation of the gospel. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the name by which we did this. The one whom you crucified, whom God has raised from the dead. The stone rejected by you has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name by which we must be saved. So a very clear proclamation of the gospel, very clear mission in the Acts chapter 4 passage. Then in 1 John chapter 3, and in 1 John generally, a different approach to mission, perhaps summed up in verse 18 of that reading, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. In other words, living it out, living the life, as much as proclaiming in word. And then in John 10, that well-known passage about Jesus teaching on shepherding and saying, and on leadership, I suppose, saying, I am the good shepherd. And in Jesus talking about being the good shepherd, we see claim to truth. So Jesus himself saying, I am. John uses the I am sayings as a way of, it's the divine name, isn't it? I am. I am who I am. So Jesus, I am, making a claim to divinity. the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. So Jesus talks about how he has loving union with the Father, how he knows the Father and the Father knows him, and how we are, as his sheep, invited into that loving union. He talks about laying down his life for his sheep, about costly love and service. And he talks about the purpose of all this, which is that there would be one flock, that he would gather, that Christ would gather one flock around the one shepherd. That might speak of unity in the church, but it also speaks of the missional purpose of reconciling all things to God through Christ. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So, I'm part of forming a community amongst families that are involved in fostering and adoption. And I believe that salvation is in Christ, that I'm called to be a witness to Christ. So how do I do this, and what should that look like? Well, in the past, I would have felt quite a great deal of pressure. So somehow I'm bringing Christ with me, or somehow I've got to preach and persuade people of the reality of Christ and Jesus and the truth about him. I guess in the past I might have made an assumption that in some ways I have a truth to share that they don't have. That's a bit like that dualistic thinking that we were thinking about last week. Last week we were thinking in terms of dualistic thinking in terms of... What were we thinking about last week? I was preaching. the flesh is bad, the spirit is good, weren't we? That was the dualistic thing. But of course dualistic thinking can happen in lots of different ways. So us and them kind of thinking is dualistic thinking. And perhaps that's what I would have carried a bit here. You know, I'm a Christian, I have the truth. You're not a Christian, you don't have the truth. It's a kind of polemic dualistic thinking that is unhelpful and not right either. So I think I would have thought in the past about my witness being about how I get them to believe and say the right things. How I get them to see things as I see them. How I get them to start coming to church. To sit in rows and to sing hymns, or to stand and listen to hymns if we can't sing them. In short, I would have thought of it as perhaps about their lives becoming more like my life. I wouldn't have said it like this, but perhaps, you know, taking on religious things, doing religious things as part of coming to faith. But that's not how I think these days. And actually I feel very liberated from the pressure of all of that. So I feel perhaps freer from feeling that somehow it's all on me, that somehow I've got to single-handedly communicate the gospel to others as though I have the truth and that they don't have any of the truth. So it no longer feels to me as though the missional task is for me to get them to move from where they are to become part of what we might think of as being church. Instead, it feels these days much more that it's about me helping people to recognise and respond to God's love, and for me to recognise and respond to God's love, and then for us to see how church might form in those relationships, in that context, and in that community. And of course that form of church might look and feel very different to the kind of traditional forms of church that we've been used to. I think that perhaps Christian mission has too often been about us trying to prove that we are right and that everybody else is wrong. Richard Rohr says this. He says, it's less about proving Jesus was God and more about learning to recognise the Creator's presence all around us and in everyone that we meet. That's something I've thought about and thought for quite a while, but I feel as though it's something I'm actually now experiencing more fully in my own experience. So I see in these new friends that I'm making a lot of the divine image. They're all created and loved by God. God is already present and active in their lives, even if not recognised or named by them. There's lots that we would call, lots of evidence that we would call of the fruit of the Spirit. Lots of love, lots of kindness, lots of goodness, lots of faithfulness I see in those relationships. There's lots of laying down lives for others, the sacrificial living that a lot of people end up doing when they're caring for children with complex needs. Lots of caring. Human beings created in God's image. And the forming of this this community already feels good. It feels wholesome. It feels life-giving. It feels joyful. But it's not in any recognised way, or it's not a Christian community. It's just a community of human beings created in the image of God. And yet it feels to me as though God is already present, already cares, already loves, is already at work as the Good Shepherd, forming one flock. So my task is just to be part of it, to join in and to contribute, to recognise the signs of the kingdom. Makes me think about the five marks of mission. Of course, the five marks of mission, I'll just remind you what they are. So the five marks of mission: to proclaim the kingdom, to nurture new believers, to serve human need in loving service, to transform the unjust structures of society, and to safeguard creation. Well, that's my summary of them anyway. The church, Christ's church, has a particular role to play in revealing God's purposes. But that's not the same as thinking that we have all the truth and we've got to persuade everybody else to come onto our territory and our ground in order to be proper believers or proper Christians. That role can be fulfilled out and about in those other relationships. So I think I'm beginning to see mission as much less about trying to prove to others the existence of God or the truth about Jesus, and much more, so I've lost my place to my notes here, seeing mission and the kingdom much more about the natural God intended way for human society to be, the natural way for human beings to live. Does that make sense? So it's not so much about doing religious things, getting people to join the church. Might involve that, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think it's much more about naturally living the way that human society is meant to be. Naturally living in the way that God intended as human beings. So actually we proclaim to one another by reminding, by calling to, by celebrating, by loving one another in truth and action, as it says in 1 John. More through our living, more through our relationships than preaching in words, although proclamation in words has its place, doesn't it, in terms of proclaiming truth and revealing truth. It's about serving human need through loving service. It's about working and standing against that which is unjust and wrong. It is about looking after the environment and working with humanity, the rest of humanity, to safeguard the environment. Jane Williams, in her commentary on the readings today, said this: any other way of living is out of tune with the whole purpose of the universe. Any other way of living is out of tune with the whole purpose of the universe. So I think perhaps what I'm trying to say, which I'm not perhaps saying very clearly, is that part of what I feel as though I'm discovering is that actually God's kingdom and God's truth is out there. And actually our call is simply to participate in that in a way that we witness to it in our own lives and recognise it and draw it out and proclaim it in other people's lives. And that actually our task is, well, it's not just our task. God's project is that we live in tune with the way that he's created the universe. And that our lives, therefore, are naturally in tune with who God is, who God's created us to be. And therefore, our lives and the communities that form on that basis bear witness to and proclaim who God is and who we experience God to be in Christ. Amen.